copies of financing statements which have been filed under all addresses of the debtor and have those sent to you. They respond very quickly, usually in less than a week, sometimes in a week or more. That's one of the reasons for the 20-day period, to allow you time to make a search and be able to get it back in time. I think that the people here representing the banking industry would agree that it's a very efficient system, and that they all use it as a means of protecting their security interests under the provisions of ORS 79.
Okay, thank you.
I could have given you the same answer as Mr. Chair, but I felt
I understand.
Not as briefly, though.
Good afternoon. Yes. Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee, I'm Casey Short, Vice President with Farmers and Merchants Bank of Forest Grove, Oregon, and Chairperson of the Oregon Bankers Association Agricultural and Forestry Committee. I provided you a copy of my written testimony for your review so that you can follow the basic points that I'm going to try to make today. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that Oregon's commercial banks have provided $343,500,000, or 29% of the farm non-real estate debt, primarily for operating purposes debt, for Oregon, which totaled $1,179,925,000 as of January 1st, 1984. During this same time period, Oregon's commercial banks extended $18,700,000 in additional non-real estate farm credit, while the production credit associations reduced $42,644,000 in credit extensions to Oregon farmers. In order for Oregon's commercial banks to continue to pick up the slack in operating funding for Oregon's farmers, it is necessary that banks and other lenders be assured of the opportunity to perfect first security lien positions on the crops, livestock, and equipment which are used to secure loans to agribusiness borrowers. Unfortunately, under present Agricultural Services Lien Law, ORS 87226, an agricultural supplier of goods and services can file a lien which takes precedence over a bank's prior perfected lien under the Oregon Uniform Commercial Code. The present 226 Agricultural Services lien can be filed without providing notification to any secured creditor, which places all secured creditors at risk when they finance an Oregon farming operation. As an agricultural lender, I feel that it is vital to Oregon's agriculture and Oregon's banks that all secured creditors be notified about agricultural services liens at the time they are filed. If the present lien law is left unchanged, it will serve as an additional risk impediment, which could cause Oregon's commercial banks to radically limit their agricultural lending programs to only the strongest and most creditworthy agricultural borrowers. Fortunately, it appears that agricultural suppliers and secured creditors can agree on several amendments to the present law, which will improve the opportunities to serve farmers by both suppliers and lenders. The amendments, which are acceptable to the Oregon Bankers Association, provide as follows. First, that petroleum products are added to materials for which an agricultural services lien may be claimed. Second, any lien created by ORS 87226 shall also attach to the proceeds received from the sale of crops or animals. That is acceptable. Third,
does that mean you agree to this language when it says, and to the unborn progeny of the animals in your room at this point?
At this point in time, I cannot state that for the association. Okay. I think that's something that we still need to discuss, because there's some very technical issues about pregnant livestock and who owns what. All right, and there's some legal questions there that I can't even ascribe to at this point.
And I will also state, if we have used the term replacements, they would have had a much stronger statement in opposition. So that kind of gives the committee the idea of where the, as close as we can get at this point with the parties.
The duration of lien is to be a maximum of 18 months if suit to foreclose is not commenced in an appropriate court within 18 months after the notice of claim of lien. Fourth, a person claiming a lien created by ORS 87226 shall file a written notice of claim of lien with the recording officer of the county in which the lien debtor resides not later than 75 days after the close of furnishing the labor, services, or materials. Now, as far as this being acceptable to us, in the initial conversation that we had with suppliers and with the representative Bellamy, we found that acceptable. However, there was a point just brought up to me today by another banker that we do have some concerns, and the primary issue is the ascribes to the date of delivery of labor, services, or materials. And when you've got a fertilizer and chemical supplier, oftentimes they will provide chemical and fertilizer several times during the year. The same holds true for feed suppliers, which provide feed to livestock operations, particularly dairy, on a monthly basis. I essentially have some concerns in that fertilizer and chemical dealers traditionally in our county, and several of them that I deal with and that are my clients, file a farm services lien upon delivery of the chemicals at the first point during the year. My concern, though, is that if you go for several years as a supplier and don't file any lien, the financial institution is not apprised of the lien's existence as being predecessory under the Oregon Uniform Commercial Code. Fifth, a true copy of notice is to be provided by the person filing the certificate of lien to all persons having perfected security interests under ORS Chapter 79 within 20 days after filing a certificate of agricultural services lien.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
It's a bond.
I have a question on that. You said 20 days. Your written testimony says 10 days, and the bill amendment gives 0 days, as I read it. I have this question. I, as an attorney, have experienced a client coming into my office on the last day they had to file a lien. Delightful experience. And your 60 days or your 75 is there. You have to file that day.
Mm-hmm.
If you also have to get information from the Secretary of State on who has a perfected security interest,
mm-hmm.
even with the lien service that will run across the street for you to do that, you sometimes can't get it back that afternoon. So I like either the 10 days or the 20 days as opposed to what I read the amendment to say, 0 days. Is there any problem with putting it at 10 days?
The initial comment that I had, and when I wrote this, was 10 days. And the proposed amendments exhibit 20 days. 20 days is acceptable to the Oregon Bankers Association.
Well, Mr. Chairman, further question. On page 2 of the amendments, it says in sub 3, no cost disbursements or attorney's fees otherwise allowable as provided by ORS such and such shall be allowed to any party failing to comply with subsections 1 and 2 of this section. Now, where in 1 and 2 does it say you have 20 days?
Under 2 in line 13 on page 2. To the last, the notice shall be mailed to holders of perfected security interest within 20 days after the date of filing. The notice under section 1 is to be filed forthwith, and that is because you don't need to file a uniform commercial code.
Okay.
You don't need to get information to send that, and that is the current law for sending notices to owners. The new section is specifically an additional section to relate to holders of perfected security interest, and it has 20 days to allow for a search, and I think there's wide agreement on that.
That's fine. I just missed the 20. Thank you.
President Sprayer?
Then I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think I understood his state that lien created under 87.226 has priority over any other security interest. Where is that provided?
It's under the provision of 86.146.1E, which is the priority section under the statutory lien law.
Okay, we don't have that before us. Okay.
I have a copy of it. Have copies of it, please.
87.146.1E. Okay, thank you.
And I can read it to you if you...
If it's brief, yeah.
Sure. With regard to the same chattel, a lien created by ORS 222 to 232, which would include 226, has priority over a security interest created under ORS Chapter 79.
You're not proposing to change that priority at all?
No.
Just wanted to make sure that was clear. Thank you.
I guess, are you saying you support current priority?
I represent, and I'm not here on behalf of the national institutions, I'm here on behalf of the agricultural suppliers. We represent Boston Purina, among others. And yes, they do support the existing law with respect to the priority provisions.
Mr. Short, Bankers Association. Are you representing the Bankers Association?
Yes, I am. And as far as agreeing to the predecessory lien situation, we have agreed to that. We feel that suppliers need to be protected as long as it doesn't impair financial institutions' first interest, providing that notification is provided on these liens.
Doesn't this statute also affect labor as well?
Labor was expressed or implied before, and the petroleum products was expressed or implied. There are many suppliers of petroleum products and of labor that file these liens as a regular course of doing business, and they have held up thus far.
So the performance of labor on a farm, that has a priority over the lending institutions?
Yes, it would, particularly labor provided by a supplier or an implement dealer, for instance, or a veterinarian.
You'll note, Mr. Chair, on page 3 of the bill, not of the amendments, line 18 and 19 specifically lists performs labor or provides services.
Right. And I was just kind of getting a better understanding of the law, Representative Bellamy. So okay. If I'm a field hand, for example, I would have be able to file a lien for unpaid wages, and that would have priority over...
Yes, ordinarily, if you were a contract laborer, yes. If you were an employee, that would not be the case.
Okay. And you're supportive of this?
Yes.
Thank you. I think Representative Springer, then Representative Bud.
I guess a question that goes to the change in the statute that's going to require the filing of the notice to the folks who have secured interest under Chapter 79. Why are you not able to accomplish that now contractually when you enter into an agreement to require that the person with whom the debtor, if you will, is not required in your contract to notify you directly when they receive notice of a lien?
Well, I hate to say it, but it is within our security agreements that we are to be notified of any liens being placed against a particular client. In the security agreements that they sign that attach to the Uniform Commercial Code filings that we take and file with the state of Oregon. Unfortunately, if you've got a farm situation where you are dealing with a farmer or a rancher that decides to divert funds from his farm budget, that individual may not want the financial institution to know that they've done this during the operating year. And as a result, they may depend upon supplier credit for certain things, to where a predecessory lien can exist. And the financial institution is not at present advised of that. That's one of my primary concerns as a creditor. A case in point, a farmer client of mine purchased fertilizer and chemicals under his farm budget. He notified me of that fact when I provided him with an advance under his credit line. He promptly went to another client of mine that happened to be a fertilizer and chemical supplier and obtained supplier credit for 90 days for the same dollar amount that he had taken as an advance. That was quite interesting to me, as I did have financing arrangements with both parties, and his name appeared after 30 days on an account receivable listing. I confronted my client with that fact, and I knew that my fertilizer and chemical supplier was fully apprised of the lien laws and had indeed filed a lien. Essentially what we had was a farm diversion, and the farm diversion problem was taken care of immediately in that particular case, because I did receive notice from my client, the fertilizer and chemical supplier. Okay, but that does not happen in the ordinary course of business. There are fertilizer and chemical suppliers and feed suppliers that are clear across state that basically when they place a lien, a financial institution has no idea that that lien exists, particularly because those liens are filed with the county only.
Okay. Well, that, Mr. Chair, that kind of leads, I guess, on other lien issues. We sometimes talk about how the creditor can secure his or her own interest more adequately, and I think you pointed out some problems in terms of what can happen now if for some reason the debtor fails to notify you for whatever reason. But I guess a couple methods in other lien contexts we sometimes hear talked about are that I don't know how much advances are part of the progress, sort of like progress payments, if you will, but having two payees on the checks, if you make one to the farmer, you make sure that his supplier gets that check, or escrow kinds of accounts, so that if you loan, it can only be paid out for certain purposes. Are those mechanisms used much?
Representative Springer, they are not utilized very often because they are cumbersome and they are expensive, and they basically result in a higher interest rate to the farmer to go under what we call a voucher system. They also result in an increased risk perception on the part of the bank, which results in loan fees and increased interest rates for the farm client that we have to do this for. In other words, the type of client I was just relating, the type of farmer that I just mentioned, is in now under a voucher system.
I can believe that.
And he will be under a voucher system indefinitely. What I'm trying to do here is to avoid saying to it that my fellow commercial bankers do this as a matter of course, and therefore increase the cost of agricultural borrowing in the state of Oregon substantially for the farmer and rancher, because we will have to do this if we are not notified on a regular basis of these agricultural services liens. That's a premise that is held by all of the members of the Agricultural and Forestry Committee of the Oregon Bankers Association, and there's general consensus among other bankers that I've spoken to that we will go to a voucher system if it becomes necessary. And what that is going to result in is that only the best commercial agricultural borrowers are going to be helped.
Casey, yes. you made the statement, it's very seldom used, but I think you would also agree that for the agricultural people that have a very questionable financial background or situation, the likelihood of that process being used increases. So there's a certain group of their clients that it's used quite often, but in general, overall, it's not used very often.
Representative Bob.
If you have a situation where you're financing the bulk of the farming operation and you have a mortgage on the farm itself, and you have a secured interest in the farm equipment, and you're doing not all of the financing but a large portion of it, and you already have that loan amount out, and then you receive notice of the farmer having used fertilizers and other things in the farming operation from a supplier, and the supplier has a lien on that. How are you going to use that information for your next cycle?
Okay, basically what will happen with regard to, now you're asking about a diversion situation?
No, I'm just asking, I'm a farmer, I finance with you, but I have other financing as well. I finance several different places, and I get financing for my fertilizer and the seed and other things through the supplier. I have a line of credit there. And they file a lien, and you get notice of that lien. I haven't misrepresented anything to you. What happens in the next cycle when I come back to you for additional financing for a new combine, for example?
Okay, basically what's going to happen to that particular farmer is that if he did not notify the bank that he was going to purchase fertilizer and chemicals from an outside supplier, and if that was not part of his farm budget, all right, I'll correct my comments. In ordinary course of doing business, a farmer comes in and completes a farm budget, all right, or an income and an expense forecast. If a farmer doesn't include anything for fertilizer and chemicals in that farm budget, and if he's a crop farmer, I ask him questions of why not? Where do you get your supplier credit for the fertilizer and chemicals during the operating year? There are some farmers I allow to go to suppliers to obtain their chemical and fertilizer and their feed. However, there are if it is included within the farm budget, it is assumed that the bank will be providing those funds. If I have a customer that does not include that within farm budget, I would probably finance him in the next year under ordinary circumstances, with the exclusion of that from his farm budget, knowing that he will have a lien placed that is predecessory to our lien on the crops. All right.
Further questions?
President Bunn.
Except for the most financially sound borrowers, would it be your practice to require that they do their crop borrowing through you as opposed to going to an outside supplier?
I require 90% of my farm clients, and we have approximately $4 million in agricultural credit extended present time, to include fertilizer and chemicals and feed within their budgets. And in answer to your question, I require them to provide me with an accounting under ordinary circumstances of what they're expending. That is done verbally, not under a voucher system at the present time. If I find a diversion situation like I've just related to you exists, I will immediately put them under a voucher system for the remainder of the operating year, and then in subsequent operating years they will be set up that way again.
If a farmer can find a better cost method of financing through a supplier as opposed to the lending institution, are lending institutions comfortable if the farmer discloses with allowing that farmer to finance a portion of their operation through that supplier?
Yes, if they're strong financially, we will. If they are not, we probably will not allow it, and we will put them under a voucher system. But I want to re-qualify the fact that most commercial banks in Oregon only have about 10% of their clientele under agricultural credit extension that are under a true voucher system. 90% of the people are basically treated under a standard operating line without having to provide a detailed accounting.
Further questions?
Proceeding on. I believe I got to item 6. Okay, that the person filing a secured lien notify all secured creditors of satisfaction of lien by providing a true copy of lien satisfaction within 10 days of satisfaction. We had debated on a 10-day issue, but we were pretty open pertaining to that. Oregon's commercial banks are prepared to meet the challenge of providing funds for creditworthy Oregon farmers. However, we cannot continue to fund our agricultural clients if we have to continue to be concerned about unnotified agricultural services liens.
We would hope these amendments would be approved and that House Bill 2996 would be adopted. This legislation could prevent creditor overreaction. Such a creditor overreaction could conceivably cause many banks and other lenders to alter their agricultural lending policies. These lending policy changes could result in agricultural borrowers being required to submit payable vouchers to the bank or other lender prior to advances being approved for agricultural operating expenses. And I want to restate, prior to being approved. Undoubtedly, such a system would cause banks to charge higher interest rates and loan fees on production loans to farmers, because such creditor monitoring procedures require more labor and review time by bank officers. And I'd be happy to respond to any additional questions.
Further questions? I just want to go back quickly, I guess, to something you said about 87226, and you said that that was labor performed, that it was only an independent contractor on line 19 of the bill, which is 3 sub C, says employee in terms of defining labor or provide service. Has that been interpreted to mean independent contractors? Does employee mean employee? Is it usually means in a legal sense?
There hasn't been a specific case interpreting this language under this specific lien law. I believe that this lien law is intended to provide for the labor, which is not the employee labor, frankly, of the farmer. They have other labor lien laws under the employment provisions of the statutes where they file labor liens upon land. On crops which have a very high level of priority in their own right. But I believe that primarily that the labor intended to be included here, though it has not been interpreted by the court, is the labor which is involved in providing services to the farmer. Now that obviously could include an employee, but I don't frankly know the case where an employee has followed agricultural services lien and had occasion to appeal a denial of it to the Court of Appeals of the Supreme Court. So,
but on its face, though, it would seem to include employees.
Very broad.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I think there's a practical application of that. You would not necessarily want to file a lien and assume that it would be many months down the road before you'd ever get your money. I think if you were the employee or the farmer, you'd probably want to go another option that would maybe get you your money a little quicker.
Yeah.
Agricultural service liens are not a quick thing to get your money with.
However, Representative Bellamy, I think commercial banks, if we know that such a lien exists and that our crop lien is basically subservient to a predecessory lien, we'll do everything in our power to satisfy that lien under a farmer's budget or outside of it. And the reason we want to be notified is so that we can solve these problems before they become major. There are some real questions pertaining to the so-called secret lien and the effects that it's going to have on agricultural finance in this nation. Within the state of Oregon in particular. We've got a farm crisis on our hands here in Oregon, where roughly 5% of the farmers in the state are in severe financial difficulty. And of that 5%, I'd say conservatively that we're going to see quite a few of them fail. I'm concerned as an agricultural banker that the more impediment that we have to being in a first lien position, the less inclined financial institutions in this state and in other states are going to be to take the additional risk that agricultural loans present to us. And another factor is that regulatory agencies are becoming very, very stringent in checking out our lien positions while they examine our agricultural credit. If we have not made it a standard practice of checking with regular suppliers in the area, we may find ourselves with a classified loan pertaining to a farmer in particular that may have exceeded his budget, where we've got a farm carryover situation. And that's how these types of things do occur. If we are not notified, oftentimes this type of thing will result in a farm operating carryover, and regulatory officials for both the federally chartered banks and the state chartered banks are very critical of carryover loans. We generally have a classified loan on our books for the next operating year, which impairs us from providing additional extensions of credit. Under fear of further classification of the credit by the regulatory authorities. So, and this is becoming vitally, vitally important now that we've got the failure of production credit associations in this state, and we've got a lot of farmers out there that have not been able to obtain operating funding from other sources.
Culture. Is that right?
Yes, Mr. Chairperson Mary.
Sure, is that a written testimony?